Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Yud. We left off on Daf Tesan Beis. Shir is once again sponsored by the Bookbinder family in memory of Ruth Simon Aleh Shalom, Rachel Perel Bas Avram, who is an outstanding contributor to Yeshiva of South Shore, Mesifta Taras Yaakov, and other mostos in Klal Yisrael. And the learning today should be an aliyah for her neshama. And we thank the Bookbinder family very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the third Tashema, the third Raya. We're in the middle of the discussion of how we know Chamira Sakanta Meyesura. Where do we ever find that we treat Sakana more seriously than we do Isser? How can we prove that we treat Sakana more seriously than we do Isser? So we had two Rayas yesterday, neither of which seemed to have stuck. So we're going to have a third Raya today for Chamira Sakanta Meyesura. Then the Gemara is going to tell us how long water has to be, once we're on the topic of sakana, how long water has to be exposed to be concerned that it's mayim megulin and that therefore it might be dangerous to drink the water, that there might be venom from a snake in that water. And then we're going to have a machlokas, a discussion that takes up the majority of the daf. What happens if you shecht an animal and then later on you find the knife that you shechted with was pogum? So do we assume that the pegima happened before the shechita and therefore the knife, the animal rather, is not kosher, was not a kosher shechita, or do we assume that the pegima happened after the shechita and that the shechita was fine? The Gemara is going to bring a raya from a raya to the sheet of Rav Huna that it must be possible from a case of a tevila. A person goes to the mikveh and then after the tevila they find a chatzitza on their body. So do they assume that their tevila was possible or not? And then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to give a psak halacha in this case, finding the knife that's pogum, what's the halacha? And then the Gemara is going to discuss the halacha that and the practice that you would show the chacham the shechita knife in order to for him to check the shechita knife. It's one way of being mechabed the chacham. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss how we know that we rely on chazaka, and we're going to suggest that the source for the idea that you rely on this chazaka of status quo, that things must be the same as they were when you left them, is from the halachos of Neged Sara'as, that the Kohen leaves the house and then he declares its status. He has to assume that the nega that he just saw hasn't changed in the few moments that he's left the house. So that must be a raya to the idea of relying on chazaka. The Gemara is going to question that raya and give answers to that question, but that's going to be the discussion. So let's begin again in Daf Tesam Beis. Omar Rav Ashi Tashema, about 6-7 lines before the end of the page. Omar Rav Ashi Tashema, so we'll bring a raya from a braisa, or at least it seems to be a braisa. It's a machlokas rishonim, whether it's a mishnah or a braisa that we're about to quote. Tosfos writes that the Gemara brings a braisa that's very similar to a mishnah that appears in the 11th parak of Para, of Masachas Para, but it's a little bit different in the Lashon. And the reason the Gemara brings this Brisa, rather than just bringing the Mishnah, is because the Brisa is, as Brisas tend to be, is a little bit more explicit. The Brisa is going to say the words, Shanyomer Adam Tamei Nichnas Lashon. And the Mishnah doesn't have those words that explain the halacha that we're about to say. However, the Shita Mukbetza says that what we're bringing over here is a Mishnah, it's not a Brisa. The change in Lashon is because that very often the derech of the Balei HaGemara, says Shittim Kabet, says, is when they quote things, is to change the lashon slightly to sort of fit the needs of what they're quoting for. And therefore, it's not, there was no separate statement of Tanaim. This is the Mishnah Masechas Parah. Okay, but whether it's a Mishnah or a Braisa, Tashema, here's the Raya. Tzlochus Sheinich Mugulo. Let's say you had filled up, why is this Mishnah Masechas Parah? If it is a Mishnah, if you filled up a plate of water, Mayim Chayim, from a Mayan, in order to mix the Efer Para Aduma in it, and then you'll sprinkle it on someone who's Tamei Meis in order to be Mitaherim, and then you left it Megula, you left that water exposed, it was uncovered. Ubao Mitzah Mechusa, and when you came back, you found it to be covered, so someone had covered it. The halach is Tameya, that the water is going to be Tamei, and it's Mitamei Ochlin Mashkin if it touches Ochlin Mashkin. And that, obviously, if the water is Tamei, which is a lesser problem, you have a much bigger problem that it is now possible to use for the Efer Para Aduma, because the Efer Para Aduma is called a Chatos in the Torah, and therefore it has to be done, everything that's done with it has to be Altaras Korban Chatos. You have to have it treated Altaras HaKarbanos. So why is it Tamei? Why do we assume that it became Tameya, just because you now find it covered, Shani Omer, Adam Tamei Nichnas L'sham V'kisa, because I have to assume that a Tamei person came there and covered up the Tzlochis, and because of that, he must have touched the water, and therefore he was Metamei the water. So there were a lot of gzeros that the Chum made by Mechatos to be Machmir on the Tahara of Mechatos. A Stam Adam Legabe Chumros of Tahara of Mechatos is assumed to be Tamei. So we're assuming that Mestama, that person, Min Harov, was Tamei Legabe Mechatos. That's what the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that even though, you know, it's quite an assumption to make, are most people Tamei, that you're going to assume that he was Metamei? Yes, with regard to Mechatos, because unless a person is so careful with Tuma that he's always on guard to be ready to deal with Kachim, which most people are not, then he's assumed to be Tamei with regard to Mechatos. This is one of the ma'alos, one of the chumros that we have when it comes to Kachim. So, but let's say it was the reverse. Hinicha mechusa uba umutza megula. You left it covered and then you came back and you found it uncovered. Then you don't have to be choshesh and an adam tamei touched it. And if the water touches food or drink, it's not going to be metamei. So then it's going to be fine. So im yichalochul belishtos mimena, if the tzlochis is not hanging in midair, it's just sitting on the ground, and therefore a chulda could get into it and could drink from it. Oh, nachash or a nachash could get into it. L'divrei Rabbi Gamliel, according to Rabbi Gamliel, holds that a nachash would possibly live as well. Oh, sheyarad batal balayla, or dew fell into it at night and got mixed in with the water. In those cases, it's going to be psula. It's going to be possible to use for Efer Par. It's not going to be tamei because we're not going to assume a tamei person touched it when you left it covered and you find it uncovered. But it will be possible Efer Par because those things possible the mayim from being used for hazah on a tamei mace. But the mayim is not going to be tamei. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, matam. Why is it that if you leave it covered, you're not choshesh that a tamei person came and uncovered it, meaning after all, when you left it uncovered and then you find it covered, you're concerned that it was a tamei person's doing and therefore the whole thing is tamei. Why in the reverse are we not concerned? Because it's the derech of shratzim to uncover things, but it's not the derech of shratzim to cover things. And therefore, in the sefer, when you left it covered and you found it uncovered, there are three possibilities of what happened, and two out of the three would not make it tameh. One possibility is that shratzim uncovered it, and a sheretz is not mitameh. Almost every time we quote a sheretz in Shas, it's to use the sheretz as an example of tameh, but a live sheretz is not mitameh. So the kind of sheretz that's going to be messing around with the cover on the kli is not mitameh. So it's not metameh, and even if a person did it, maybe the person was tahar. So the only possibility that it's tameh is that an adam tameh did it, that an adam tameh exposed it, uncovered it, and therefore we follow rove possibilities of the three possibilities: sheretz, adam tahar, adam tameh. The first two of those three are possibilities that would not affect it at all, and therefore it's perfectly fine. But in the case of the ratio where you left it megula, now you find it mechusa, now you find it covered up, it can't be that a sheretz did that because shratzim don't do that, and therefore you're left with only two possibilities. It was either an adam tamei or an adam tar, and therefore we assume that it's an adam tamei. But what you see from the sefer is that we follow rov afilu lahakel when it comes to iser, and yet when it comes to sakana we do not follow rov. So the marshal is mochik the parentheses, so we'll skip that. Vilu safik mayim magulim, if you have a safik sakana, a suffix about Mayim Magulim, whether you could drink it, Asurin, we're afraid that maybe a Nachash drank from it, and even though Nachashim are a tiny miut, Keneged people and Keneged Shratzim, that don't have any sort of venom that they could have, anything dangerous they could have put into the water, so we're still going to say Asur. So when it comes to Sakana, even if you have an overwhelming rove, when it comes to Sakana, that everything is fine, we're still going to be Machmir. So Shema Minach, so that ultimately is the raya that chamir sakanta meisura, that we treat sakana more seriously than we do iser. Now that notion of chamir sakanta meisura plays a role in a number of in a number of different places in halacha. The most famous place, probably where we're concerned about sakana more so than we are about iser, is when it comes to fish and meat. That when it comes to fish and meat, people are very makbid because of the issue of sakana. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch not to mix fish and meat together. In fact, the Mechaber or the Beis Yosef writes one place not to even mix fish and milk together. It's a question whether that's a typo or not. But the Magen Avraham writes that because this is sakana, he says, Magen Avraham writes that we don't have to be so makbid about it anymore because, as far as we know, it's not really a sakana, meaning that it used to be a sakana, or they used to think it was a sakana, but it's apparently nishtana ativim or something. Something must have changed, and it's no longer a sakana. But there is a machlok shachtaz for those who are concerned, who do not assume like the Magen Avraham and assume that it is still a sakana. So would we apply the idea of bitul b'shishim? Let's say you had a very little bit of fish that was mixed in with a lot of meat. So do you assume that just like Isser is batul b'shishim, sakana is also batul b'shishim? So you would think that, of course, there's such a thing as bitul, but no, because chamir sakanta be'isura, half of the poskim say that there is no such din of bitul b'shishim when it comes to sakana. Another example where we say chamir sakanta be'isura, we assume that three times creates a chazaka throughout Shas. There's machlokas tanaim, whether trezim niavi chazaka or three times is a chazaka. Does it take two or three times to create a chazaka? But when we have the halacha of an isha katlanis, a woman who her husband seemed to keep dropping dead on her, so the halacha is that you're not allowed to marry her because it's a sakana. So how many times do husbands have to die in order for it to be assumed to be a sakana? So two dead husbands is enough for it to be a sakana, because chamir sakanta meyisura. So even though normally we assume three times is a chazaka, we don't take chances. Now obviously there are rules that govern isha katlanis. If the woman keeps marrying 97-year-old men, and they keep dying, so then probably it's not because she's a katlanis. Under normal circumstances, it's all discussion in the Gemara what isha katlanis is based on. Is it based on mazel, or is it based on an assumption of some sort of transmittable disease that she keeps on transmitting to her husband, that with obvious nafkaminas? But that's the discussion in the Gemara, I think, in Maseches Ksuvos. So okay, now back in the Gemara. So once we spoke about the isra of Mayim Megulin, and we discussed the sakana related to it, so now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Tzan hasam, shlosh mashkin asur mishum gilui. There are three liquids that are asur when you leave them exposed. Mayim, v'yayin, v'chalav. Apparently those are the liquids that a nachash is most attracted to, and is most likely he's going to leave some venom in there. But other types of liquids, you don't have to worry about a nachash doing anything to it. But Prichadish points out in Yardaya and Simon Kuf Tesayin, which is a simin about sakana in Yardaya, that if you see the nachash drink from any other mashkim, then it definitely does become asur mishum sakana. It's not saying that other mashkim won't accept the venom or something like that. No, if you see, it's just that a snake is not attracted to them. But if you see that a snake went into any other liquid, then also you're not allowed to drink from them. So kama yishuv yu asur, and how long do you have to leave it exposed to the point where you have to be concerned that maybe a snake was there? It has to be enough time that the sheretz or the nachash got out, could have gotten out from a close by area and drunk from it without you noticing. So if you turn around for a half second and turn back and nothing seems to have changed, it's fine. But if you turn around for long enough, or you leave the room for long enough that a snake could have drunk from it, then you have to be concerned. How close of a makom karov does he have to have gotten from? I don't know where the snakes come from. Some that if the snake was able to get out from underneath the handle of the kli and drink from it, we're concerned that maybe you didn't notice, but he was hiding under the handle of the kli. So says Gemara, yishta, without hakachazile, but won't you catch it after it drank from it? So yeah, it could have gotten out from the handle of the kli, but now you look and you see that nothing's there. So that shear shouldn't be enough. Now, what we must mean to say is that enough time for it to drink and then sneak back to wherever it's going back into its hole. So that has to be the amount of time. The Tosos quotes the Rushalmi, who suggests a little differently, that the shear is only because we're choshesh that there's a certain type of nachash called a shvifon, which is duck kuchuta sa'ara, and it quickly returns to the karka without you even being able to see it. That it's something that's, I don't know, that you would be able to see it going in, but you wouldn't be able to see it going out. The Yerushalmi has some sort of mitzius, which is a chiddush, because it's not just that we're choshesh for the amount of different snakes that could have deposited venom, were even choshesh for a particular kind of snake, which is a much more limited number. So that's how far we go, the Yerushalmi says, that we're even going to be choshesh to that extent. Okay, so we had mentioned before that the notion of chazaka, that a behemah b'chayeh is b'cheskes Yisro medes, because there's a chazaka of Eivor Min HaChai, that the behemah is obviously Eivor Min HaChai while it's alive, so we assume that it retains that cheskes Yisro until you know exactly how the shechita happens. So the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim that's nogea to that issue. So itmar, hashochit pesakin v'nimtzeis peguma. A person shechts with a knife before shechita, and the knife seemed to have been fine without any pigments before shechita, and then sometime after the shechita, you find that the knife is peguma. So Amar Rav Huna, afilu shibur ba atzamos kol hayom psula, that even if you were breaking bones with that knife all day long, so there's very likely that the pagam happened in that knife at a later time, or your shechita is going to be possible. Why? Chashin and shema ba'or nifgama, because as far as we know, it could be that the skin of the animal at the beginning of the shechita caused the pigim of the knife, and therefore the shechita was it didn't slice the simanim, was korea the simanim, and the Torah says v'zavachta not sheyikra, and therefore it's going to be a problem. Chista amar ksheira shema be'etzem nifgama. If Chista says no, it's going to be kosher because maybe it was one of the bones that you were chopping afterwards, or a bone within the animal itself at the end of the shechita after you've already sliced through the simanim that caused the pegima in the socket. So that's the machlokas. The number of Rishonim write that even though the Gemara says it as a lashon safek, it doesn't mean that Rav Chista holds that there's a safek whether the sakin was nifkam be'etzem or ba'ar. Because if it was a safek that shema nifkam or ba'ar, then it would be aser. He means to say that we're tola bevadai that it was nifkam be'etzem, and they bring rayos from many places in Shas where the Gemara uses the lashon of safek, but it really means vadai. The Meiri, however, quotes that there are yesh omrim that the Gemara over here means that Rav Chista is not matir, even though it's not a vadai. That Rav Chista is matir, even though it's not a vadai that it was nifkam be'etzem. That creating a suffix is good enough, and that's all Rav Chista is doing. But the pashtus is like the other rishonim, like the ra'ah, the rimilu nil, that it has to be saying as a b'toras vadai, otherwise it would be problematic. So here we have this machlokas. You shechted an animal, the knife seemed to be fine. Afterwards, you check the knife, and it's pagum. So what do we assume about your shechita? Rav Huna thought that your shechita is going to be puzzle, and Rav Chista says your shechita is going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Huna kishmaitei. Rav Huna happens to go very well l'shita so, because Rav Huna is the one that said that behema b'chaya b'cheskes Yisro medes, unless you know that the shechita was good. Over here you don't know, because as far as you know, this knife may have been puzzle. Elo Rav Chista my time up. But why is Rav Chista mat here eating this animal? What about Rav Huna's cheskes heter? What about Rav Huna's cheskes Yisro? While it was alive, it had a cheskes Yisro. So Amalach, Rav Chista would tell you, etzem vaday pogem. Here's what I know. When you smack a knife, you bang a knife on bones, it certainly has the capacity to be pogem the knife, because it's very hard, very strong. Or suffic pogim, suffic low pogim. When it comes to the skin of an animal, the hide of an animal, it may or may not be pogim. That's a suffic. So this is an example of have a suffic vavadai vein suffic motzimide vadai. That there is this notion that we always assume the more common of the two, that's considered a vadai legabe, the possibility of or doing anything, which is only considered a suffic. Now it doesn't mean over here that the etzem is vadai pogim and that there's no possibility that the etzem won't be pogim, because certainly it's possible. The Tosus implies over here. Certainly, it's possible that you can run a knife along a bone, or even hit a knife on a bone, and it won't be pogim the knife that time. What it means to say is that it's very common that bone is pogim, whereas or is not as common. So the Rishonim also write that the svara of Ein Sof Moshe Midevadai in our sugya is different than Ein Sof Moshe Midevadai in the rest of Shas. That everywhere else that Tzad Safek and Tzad Vadai are sosur each other, and therefore it's mistaver to be totally in the Vadai, whereas over here it could be that the Sakan became Nifgam Ba'or, and then became Nifgam again on that same place, Be'etzem. So now you just have a large Pegima in the knife, but it's not necessarily a stira. The fact that an Etzem is Vadai Pogim is not a Raya, that the Or in fact was not Pogim. So over here it just means that we're not Maniach the Matsui and look for the Eno Matsui. That since it's more Matsui, so in a number of ways, ways. It's dissimilar to the notion of Ein Tzavim Motzim Yidei Vaday in the rest of Shas. And that's what we find a number of places that Rav Shachter often points out, that I think the Ravid writes in one of his Svarim, that one of the Midosh HaTorah Shebal Peh Nidreshos Behen, one of the things that you need to know when you're learning Torah Shebal Peh, is that sometimes you'll have the same exact words in different places that mean entirely different things. Sometimes a word, sometimes a phrase, that's the same phrase in different places will mean entirely different things. And sometimes you'll have different phrases in different places that actually mean exactly the same thing. So it's important to be aware of. That's what we show to make the ha'ara normally when something like that comes out. Of course, the most illustrative example of that is the word chazaka. The word chazaka means six different things throughout Shas. So over here also, in something Muslim Devadai means something else over here than it does normally. So now Rava asks Rav Chissa from a Braisa, and it's a Raya to Rav Huna, Masav Rava L'siu the Rav Huna. He has a Braisa to bring a Raya to Rav Huna, that Rav Huna was the one that said that it's possible that you assume that since it had a Cheskas Isser originally, and Behema B'chaya B'cheskas Isser Omedes, so when you find the knife Paguma afterwards, you assume that the Begima happened prior to the Shita. So the Bryce says as follows: Tavel va'ala, person goes to a mikvah, comes out of the mikvah, v'nimtzal of dover chotzitz, and they find the chatzitza on their body afterwards. Now, if at the time of the tevila this chatzitza was there, it would have ruined the tevila. On a daraisa level, chatzitza only ruins the tevila if it covers the majority of the body and is something that a person is makbid about. But midrabanan, one or the other would ruin the tevila. Meaning chatzitza midrabanan does ruin the tevila. A woman goes to the mikvah and she finds something on a small part of her body, but it is something that she would be makbid about, then she does have to go to the mikvah again. It would ruin the tevila. Only the minhag that we have, that we try to remove all chatzitzos, even a miut, she'eino makbid, let's say a woman has perfectly manicured nails. So she's not makbid, she'd be perfectly happy to have these perfectly manicured nails all the time. So that's a miut she'eino makbid. So that's a ramah quotes a minag that we remove any sort of chatzitza because we don't want to take any chances. So if afterwards she discovered it, she discovered something like that, then she wouldn't have to go to the mikvah again. But any chatzitza d'oraisa or d'rabanan would require her going back to the mikvah. So afal pishin asasi posa min kalayom kulo, even though after the tefillah you've been dealing with the thing that you found the chatzitza on, I mean, you found some dough under your fingernails or something like that, and she was baking all day after the tefillah. Or the guy, who could be talking about a man over here, the guy was baking all day after the tefillah. Lo also the tefillah shemar bari lishloaya like kodem lachem, that the tefillah is not going to be good unless you are absolutely certain that it wasn't there beforehand. That you have to be 100% certain that it wasn't there beforehand. So vahacha devade tavu, but over here you have a case where you definitely went to the mikvah. Safik havale, safik lo havale. Your whole safik was, did I have this chatzitza on me at that time or not? Because he's safik, umotzi midei vaday, and the safik chatzitza comes in as motzi, your vaday tvila. So you see that you choshesh even for something that's not so matzui. So in the case of the sak and shenifkama as well, we should be choshesh that maybe the pegima happened because of the skin of the animal, even though it's not so matzui. And we shouldn't be making like Rav Chista and assume that the pegima happened at the shviras atzamos, when you're breaking bones after the cutting of the simanim of the animal. Says Gemara, no, you can't compare the two. Shaini hasam, dika lemeimar, hemetame al chaskaso. The tvila is different, because prior to the tefillah, there's a cheskas tumma that the person has. So when you have a suffix in whether the tefillah was kosher or not, we fall back on that chazaka, the ima lo taval, and we assume that the tefillah didn't happen properly. So says the Gemara, yeah, but hachanami by the shkita as well, hemet behema al cheskasa, the ima lo nishkata. Shouldn't we say that the behema should also go back to its chazaka and assume that it's not shechted, because prior to the shkita, the behema also had a cheskas iser. So when you have a suffix whether the shkita was done with a kosher knife or not, we should go back to that chazaka and assume that the knife became nifkam prior to the shchita. Says Mar, no, shchut lefanecha. You cannot assume that the behema is becheskas iser, because the behema is shechted. We see it right here; it's dead. So it's cheskas iser. What was its cheskas iser? Its cheskas iser was Eivor Menachai. Pretty confident it's not Eivor Menachai anymore. It's shchut lefanecha. So says Mar, hachanami yarei tavel lefanecha. Yeah, but over here also, the guy went to the mikvah and he's pretty confident. He went into the mikvah, came out of the mikvah. So it's how can you say that he's becheskas tamei when tava lefanecha? So answers Gemara, has yalda beireusa. No, there was a problem with this tefila, because he found the chatzitza and there's a chashash that maybe it was there the entire time. Well, hachanami is yalda beireusa by the shechita also. there was a problem that we found the pegima in the knife, and it could be that it was there the entire time. So says Gemara, no, if we want to distinguish between the din of the sakin that you find to be pogum and the case of the tefillah, it's because sakin isra'ayi, behema lo isra'ayi, there's a reis on the knife. But the behema, the gufa behema, didn't have any sort of pagam or suffic psul in it. So since the behema shkutul fanecha, where there is nothing physical on the body of the behema that would qualify as a reyusa, so that's why the original cheskas iser is gone from the behema. And we say ain't that the suffic of the reyusa on the knife is not going to be motzi midei vadai that the etzem is pogem. As opposed to by a tefila, yes, there's the reyusa is there, but the reyusa is more strong. The reis is on the goof of the person that was tovel, and therefore he never left his cheskas tumah, and we can't be told it to be mekel when it comes to a person who went to the mikvah. That's how Rashi explains. There is a machlok rishonim according to the maskan of the Gemara that whether the heter of Rav Chista is because of the svara of ein safek motzi midei vadei. The Ran writes that according to the maskana, the heter of Rav Chista is not about ein safek motzi midei vadei, because the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis that he's matir even when you were shocked Kama behemos, that you're assumed that the pagam happened by the bone of the last animal after the last shechita, even though there's no reason to be told that it would happen by the bone of the last animal than by the bone of any of the earlier animals. And therefore they explain the mahalik of the sugya as follows, that originally the Gemara thought that the reason of Rav Chisa was that there was no reyasa at all when you find that the sakam is paguma because the etzem is vadai pogame and therefore probably happened after the shechita. The Gemara asks from Tovel, a person goes to the mikvah where you find a chatzitza that the tefillah is going to be possible, even though he's dealing with that same min that the chatzitza came from all day long after the tefillah. So we see that even though when there's something to be tola that's begeder vadai, it's still considered a reisa. So the Gemara explains that Rav Chisda's reason is not because of ein sofik motzi midei vadai, but it's this other reason of sakin isra'ayi behema lo isra'ayi, that there's a shift now in the entire sugya, that there's a new svara, that it depends where the reisa is, that when the reisa is on the guf of the animal, then there's going to be a problem. But when the reisa is outside of the guf of what we're trying to be makshir, then it's not going to be a problem. The Rashba and Tosfos, however, seem to assume that etzem vade pagma is the reason that we say behema lo isra'ayi, meaning that the two svaras work in concert with each other, and we're not like shifting the entire sugya. Okay, so the Gemara now challenges Rav Chisda again. Let's say you're shechting a bird. Now, a bird is different than a behema in the sense that by a shechitas of, you only need to shecht one of the simanim. So let's say you shechted one of the simanim, and then the other simon, the kana, was nishmat, it would slip out of place. So then it's going to be kosher, because since you only need one simon, and you already shechted the veshet properly, so the bird is already kosher. So it doesn't matter that the other simon slipped out of its place. Nishmatakar gerzvar charkach shachat esaveshet psula. But if it happened in the reverse order, that first you shachted the gargeres, the gargeres slipped out of place, and then the gargeres is the kana, and then you shachted the veshet, it's going to be possible because the oaf already became a treifa before you did the shechita. But shachat es haveshet v'nimtes hagageres shmuta, let's say you shechted the veshet, and then you notice afterwards that the gageres is shmuta, it's out of place, but v'niyodeim kodem shechita nishmuta im li'achar shechita nishmuta, your problem is that you have no idea when that happened. So zeho yemaisu v'amru, kol safik b'shechita pasul. Such a thing happened, they asked the chamim, and they said any safik in the shechita is pasul, the behema is b'cheskas isra medes, until you know how that it was shechted properly, you don't know that it was shechted properly, and therefore it's possible. Kol safek b'shechita l'asu yemai, when the Rabbanon could have just said possible. Why did they have to say, oh, kol safek b'shechita possible? It sounds like they're trying to say, not only in the case that you're asking about, but there is another case that's similar to the case that you're asking about, that's also going to be included. So what's the lashon coming to be marba when it says kol? It sounds like he's trying to be adding something. Lav l'asu yekei gavna, isn't it coming to add exactly this case of safek where the reyusa happened in the sakin and not on in the goof of the behema, and even though it's mistaver to be told that the begima happened from bones and not from the skin of the neck of the animal, which is a less common begima, we still have to be choshesh, and therefore the shechita is going to be possible against Rav Chisda. Says Mar Lo, lasuye safik shah, safik daras. No, kol might be including any other safik related to shechita, like a safik relating to the basic halachas of the shechita, where you might have had shihia that was longer than allowable, or you might have had a chashash or a safik that maybe you were dores when you were shechting the animal. And as we mentioned yesterday, there are five psulei shechita. These are two of the five that psulei shechita that are derived from a halacha l'Moshe Sinai. So it would be any of them. The Rishonim raised the question: why are these sveikos? Why does the Tana have to be marbed these sveikos with the lashon of kol? Because there's a suffix in the kashrus of the shechita, the suffix that writes the luchumra. Meaning, isn't it obvious that if you're dealing with something that's mamish a suffix in how the shechita was done, so it's a suffix on the daraisa level, suffix that writes the luchumra. So the Ramban and the Ran suggest that suffix ikur, you'd see that the simon is nekar, and there's a suffix that's nikar in the gufa shechita, as opposed to suffix shehiya, suffix drisa, you don't see any reyus alafaneinu. So the Tana needs to tell us that even in such a suffix, it's going to be possible. That's the chiddush, and that's why we dafka chose these types of psulei shechita where there's no actual reyusa lifaneinu. Says the Gemara, umayshna, why is this suffix any different than any other suffix? They're both suffix on the kashrus of the shechita. Why, if the suffix is that maybe there was a shiur or a drisa, do we learn from the brisa that it's possible? Whereas a suffix that maybe you're shechted with the sakin that's pogum, you want to be machshir like Rav Chisda. So hasam is yaldeba reyusa, meaning Kol came to include something. So we originally wanted to say, it came to include exactly our case, and therefore if Chis is wrong, then it's going to be possible. But now we're saying, no, Kol comes to include a suffix about Shehir or Drisa, and therefore it's going to be Kasher in our case. But why? That's also a suffix in the Shechita. So Hasam is Yaldabe Reyusa Behema. By the suffix Shah, suffix Daras, there is a Reyusa in the guf of the Behema itself. Hacha Sak Nisrae Behema Lo Israel. But over here, the Reyusa was in the knife, the Reyusa was not in the Behema. So now, how do we pass on halacha? V'hilchas ha-kavase d'rafuna. We pass on like Rafuna only kishalo shiber ba'etzem, when the knife didn't come in contact with any bone. So then you have nothing else to be told it in. You have to assume that the begima came from the skin, and therefore you have to assume that the animal's a trefa. But v'hilchas ha-kavase d'rachista kishashiber ba'etzem. But if there is something else to be told, where did this begima come from? Because you were breaking bones afterwards, then we're going to pass on like Rav Chisda, that you have the right to assume that the begima came from the bones that you broke afterwards. There's no reyusa on the shechita because the etzem is vadei pogim. It's mistaver to be told like that. The Ran just adds that if you lost the knife and you didn't check it after shechita, it's going to be kosher, because even if it's nimtzes pogima, the halacha is when you're mishaber et samos, it's going to be kosher because it's not considered reyusa on the shechita. Kol shekein, if you don't have the knife over here at all, where there's absolutely zero reyusa, not on the knife and not on the animal, it's going to be kosher. But if the knife is in front of us, you do need to check it, because l'chadchila you have to be mevarer, and that's what the Rambam paskins in the first part of Hilchos Shechita, that it is necessary after a shechita to check the knife. If you ever watch shechita, they do this, right? This is something that's halacha l'maisa that you have to do, to check the knife and make sure that everything went okay. So now says the Gemara, Michlal d'Rav Chisda afal gav d'lo shibur ba'etzem ela b'may ifkim. You know, from the fact that we paskin like Rav Huna when it's lo shiver ba'atem, makes it sound like Rav Chisda would say that even if you didn't break bones, you assume that the pegima wasn't there at the time of the shechita. Well, if I didn't break bones with the knife after the shechita, where in the world did the pegima come from? It had to come from somewhere. Se'ema ba'atem demafrakis ifkin. No, what you have to say is Rav Chisda assumes that the knife became nifkam from a bone in the neck of the animal that happens at the end of the shechita after you've already cut the kind of a veshet. So that's going to be the problem. Hava uvda, and there was a maisa that happened once where a knife was found to be pogum after they shechted many different animals. V'taref Rav Yosef ad tleisav chevasa, and Rav Yosef trafed up 13 different animals that were shechted with that knife, because they didn't check the knife in between the different shechitos. So come on, whose shechita is Rav Yosef holding like? K'Rav Huna, who's choshesh that the knife became pogum. from the skin of the animal, and therefore vafilu bekamaisa, and therefore he would have been, he was matruf even the first animal that you shechted with it, because the knife may have been pogum at the very beginning of the first shechita. Says Gemara, love, you don't have to say it that way. It could be Rav Chista. It could be that Rav Yosef was assuming like Rav Chista ulevar mikamaisa, and he was saying that the first animal is perfectly kosher, because you have to assume that when did the begima happen? The first time it encountered bone, and that was at the end of the shechita of the first animal. So it could be the first animal is perfectly kosher. Or the ibayisema, the olam kravuna. Maybe Rav Yosef is assuming like Rav Huna, di krav chista, because if he would hold like Rav Chista, mitzvah talina, and Rav Chista holds that we're always told that the sakin that has a suffix, when exactly it became pogum, you're always told a lakula, even though the mafrekas is not pogum more than the or, because the mafrekas doesn't, you're not chopping the bone with the mafrekas, you're still just slicing it, it maybe comes in contact a little bit at the end, but we're still told that the mafrekas is what's pogum the knife. So when you shech many animals, Rav Chisra is going to be machshir all of them. We might be'etzim the mafrekas the kamaisa ifkim, because how do you know that it was the bone at the end of the shechita of the first animal that was poking the knife? Dilma b'etzim the mafrekas the besraisa ifkim. Maybe it was the bone that of the last animal that was poking the knife, and therefore all the animals are going to be kosher. According to Rav Chisra, we should always be told lahakel. So we have to say, as if Rav Yosef was watch of all these behemos, he must have held like Rav Huna that we're not told lahakel, and that's why he was torif everything. He required the shochet to check the knife in between shechting each and every animal. And that's assuming like Rav Huna, who's choshish for begima ba'ar ulemifsal kamaisa. And the bedika is in order to be posel the first one, because if you find the knife to be pogum, it would posel even the first shechita, because you'd have to assume that the begima happened from the or and not from the bone. So it says more love, not necessarily. Maybe we're assuming like Rav Chisra, and the reason you have to check the knife is for the last that if the knife was pogum, you would want to fix it so that the next animal you shecht will be kosher. That's why you're checking the knife before you do another shechita. It's not about checking the knife after this shechita, because for this past shechita anyway, we're going to be told that it was the bone at the end that was pogum. But it's for the next shechita. Iach, if that's the case that you need bedika for the next shechita, tibay nami bedikas chacham, that bedika should have to be done by the chacham here, because there's a chiv to show the knife before shechita to the chacham. So since Rav Kahana does not require a bedikas chacham between each of the shechitos, it doesn't sound like it's about the next shechita. So the Gemara answers, Rav Kahana does not require bedikas chacham because eidach and bisunin. Well, ihachi may karanami lo. If eidach and bisunin, you trust the shochet, then why does the chacham ever have to check the knife even before you begin doing shechita? So Rav Yochanan lo amr lahar asakim lechacham el bnei kvodo shel chacham. It's a totally different thing. We show the knife to a chacham as a way of showing kavod to the chacham. Minoham mil sadam rabban uki mil sa acheske. Says Gemara, where do we find that there's such a thing of being mamid davar al cheskaso, that we assume that a person, something retains its original status unless we know that it has changed? So Amr Rav Shulban Achmeni, Amr Rav Yonasan. We use that idea when we said behema b'chaya b'cheskas isro medes. So how do I know that something retains its original chazaka? Because Amr Krav, the pasuk says that a kohen goes into a house to look at a nega, the yatsa kohen min avayis al pesach avayis, the hisker savayis shivas yamin, that the kohen has to leave the house entirely and then he's maskir the house for 7 days. V'dilma denafik va'asa batzolei shiura. But how does he know? Maybe while he was walking out of the house, the nega became smaller. So how can he say with certainty that he has to be sogar this house? Maybe the nega shrunk. So the nega as it is now is not what he saw. It must be that we assume that the chazaka is that the nega didn't change, that the nega is exactly as he saw it. So maskar v'acha bar Yaakov v'dilma, maybe the kohen could be maskar only kigon shiyatza derech achorav, if he walks out of the house backwards, and the kachazilei kinafak, so that he sees it when he's going out, and therefore you have no raya from here that relying on chazaka, relying on what the kohen's actually seeing it. Says there are two rejections of that. First of all, walking out backwards is not called yitzia from a house. Furthermore, that's not going to work if the nega was behind the door, where as he's walking out, he's not able to see it anymore, even if he's walking out backwards. Maybe he makes a little window in the door where he's able to see it. But the Mishnah tells us that we do not open up windows to look for a nega in the house. So Amalei Rava says, I could reject both of those responses. The Kam Yitzia Derech Karav Lo Shema Yitzia, Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim yochiach. To say that walking out backwards is not called the Yitziyah, not true. Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim d'chsiv be'Yitziyah, it says that he's Yotzei from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yotzo uvalo derech knisaso, and yet it says that he walks out backwards, the same positioning his body, the same way it was when he walked in. And the other time that, that we don't open up windows in the bayis, that's only when there was no chazaka of a nega. But when there was already a cheskas nega, then you will open up windows. So it could be that Rav Acha bar Yaakov was correct, that we cannot prove from a hesker of a bayis hamenuga that a chazaka remains intact, because it could be we're not relying on chazaka, that the Kohen is watching it the entire time. So Be'ez Hashem, we're going to analyze that statement of Rav Acha bar Yaakov beginning tomorrow.